listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Davis Mills, I thought Nick's staff did a great job of all of a sudden earmarking a guy that fit what a quarterback in this NFL is all about. I mean, this guy, obviously he didn't play as much football as some of the other guys because of the COVID situation in the Pac-12, but we really love what he's all about. We love all the intangibles that he has. He's a prototype NFL quarterback, and we feel good to have him. He's smart. He can make all the throws, and we feel good and feel fortunate that we were able to get him when we got him.
That was our head coach, David Culley, on Friday. I think it was Friday. He did a Zoom with the media. Season ticket holders got to listen in.
There's a lot of good stuff. You found out that this is what a quarterback looks like in the NFL.
Well, it's what a quarterback, an NFL quarterback, is all about.
Yeah.
Right.
Davis Mills.
Right.
It's what a quarterback is. But that wasn't
NFL quarterback.
NFL quarterback, yeah. But that wasn't all. Our head coach talked about that a little bit. He talked about that. Did you also hear about the other conversation he had?
About what his Mexican food is?
Yeah. Let's listen to our head coach here talk about Mexican food.
Well, John, let me tell you this. I don't know if you see this whistle in my hand right here. I don't know if you can see it, but let me tell you something. Our staff was so happy today. Well, I'm going to say, tell me again, I'm going to hold this whistle up again, John. I'm excited to be able to get out there with them for the first time. We've had their veterans now for about 4 weeks. I have gotten a good taste of Mexican food here. The Tex-Mex food here is unbelievable. And I will agree with you right now, after being here for 3 months, that there's no place in America better than the Tex-Mex food here. No place. Listen, I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie from the standpoint when it comes to food. There's really no food on that menu that I won't try. None. But let me tell you, I always start with nachos. And I always start with the nachos. And then I go from there. And then when I go from there, it's kind of unending. It could go for a while.
That is the meme.
You need to keep David Culley as a junkie, because every time he makes a mistake.
That is the meme. That encapsulates, I've always had a problem, like, fully understanding nobody and then David Culley. But that made me understand it. Nobody asked David Culley about it. It's just like, hold on a second. You see this whistle? I don't understand what the whistle means, why he kept saying, look what I'm holding up, a whistle. I feel like I missed a part of the conversation. I don't know what that means.
But
then the Tex-Mex, and then what he's telling us is the best Tex-Mex in the country is right here in Texas. Well, yeah, it's Tex-Mex. It's our brand of Mexican food in Texas specifically. That's like saying, I don't care what you say, the best New Mexican food is in New Mexico.
Well, no, he's saying Tex-Mex is the best brand of Mexican, just like Texas barbecue is better than
sure
Kansas
that's what
City
he's saying?
Barbecue.
I think he was saying the best Tex-Mex, is right here.
Well,
he said the best Tex-Mex. He may have been using Tex-Mex's Mexican food.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant.
I didn't come out, I'm just going to be honest, I didn't come out of that feeling. Yeah. I watched the Zoom press conference. I didn't come out of there feeling like this is going to be the guy.
Why didn't you feel that?
I don't know.
What's that? What? Then what about Bo Culley? Do you think is
because he can't overcome that roster, no matter how good he is.
No.
And I'm not sure he's going to be the guy. It feels like he was just handpicked. I hope I'm wrong. He seems like an awesome dude. Everyone in the league says, David Culley, awesome dude. And then I say, David Culley, head coach. And they go, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
David Culley, great guy. Yes.
One guy who you also know said, I didn't know that was David Culley. I've always known him as, you know, whatever his nickname was that they called him. He's like, I didn't realize that's who the Texans hired as head coach. I would see, he said, I'd talk to him all the time at the combine. We'd see him. We'd talk. We'd be hanging out in the same circles, having a drink or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and then I was like, the guy from the Ravens? That's what the Texans hired? Oh, okay, cool. Good for him getting a shot. It was always one of those good for him getting a shot.
Nobody even asked him. All of a sudden, it was he was like, he didn't even apply. He was just like, hey, you want an interview?
Yeah. No one even asked him about nachos.
Nothing. About, nobody even asked him.
He said, that's our start.
David Culley, who's a junkie?
No. Delete that out of the respect.
Would you play it again?
Why did you cover your hands over your hands over your face?
I do that every
when
time
David
he starts talking.
Talking about.
I do that every time he starts talking.
Let me hear it again.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
I just don't. Delete that.
No.
It's perfect. Now, asked about Deshaun Watson. Okay. There's some questions you don't even have to ask him, and there's some questions you can't ask him.
Yeah.
Okay? But I thought, and I've heard him get ripped by other talk show hosts.
That's a losing proposition.
He said something the last time. You know, Deshaun is our quarterback.
And he took crap on the hustle and flow.
Yes. Listen, the last time he said something, they brought him in. Nick brought him in and said, dude, you don't mention Deshaun. That's a loser. So when asked about Deshaun Watson, here's Bo Culley.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
No, that ain't it. That's not what he said. That's not it. This is it.
Do you expect him to be at mini camp or OTAs?
We have nothing to say about that situation at this time. Kyle and ownership a few weeks back indicated about how our organization feels about the situation. I think when Nick was on not long ago, we mentioned that he also mentioned that the legal process is in effect right now, and we're gonna respect that and gonna go from there.
Like regardless of the legal issues?
I have nothing to say about that at this time.
There you go. Now, smart. That's the right answer.
Smart.
That's the correct answer. He can't win. Just, I have nothing to say. That's all. And you know what? Stop trying to. I mean, what are you going to get out of him? Man, we want Deshaun. No, Davis Mills is the prototypical quarterback. Davis Mills is what an NFL quarterback is.
This is what you want to look like, not Deshaun.
No. Ugh. Does Deshaun look like an NFL quarterback to you? No.
He doesn't to me either.
Davis Mills now.
Davis Mills. I like the name Davis. You know, like Jefferson Davis, Davis Mills. Works from the pocket. Where's he from? Isn't he from Georgia? Yeah.
Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis. Wasn't he like the president of the Confederacy?
No, I don't. I think he was a quarterback at Alabama back in the 30s.
I don't think he was.
Well, yeah, he likes the president of the
Confederacy. No, he's the former president of the Confederacy.
You can't be that, but you can't be that open is what Del said.
Well, you can.
Davis Mills came out of Georgia. Great quarterback. Works from the pocket. Reads defenses, doesn't have to run around and scramble around and get massages on his privates.
Wait a minute.
Like a real quarterback who's got a girlfriend who they've been to the ball together, a cotillion.
Cotillion, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe a Sadie Hawkins where the rough girls get invite you over to do stuff.
Hmm.
You know what I mean by rough girls. What play third base?
Whoa, I didn't.
Look at this.
You like your daughter, the catcher?
Bucky.
Bucky.
So this is what I got a text, and this is true. He goes, he's talking about David Culley. He said he didn't know Tex-Mex from Mexican from Spanish food. He's sucking up. He doesn't know a nacho from a chimichanga, from a chalupa, from an enchilada. I think he was, too. I said, exactly. That was a suck-up move. Little does he realize we are not insecure about our Mexican food here. You don't have to suck up. I said, now, save that for barbecue talk. Because Texas has been very, like Houston and Texas, that's where the regions have fights about it. But the Mexican food, I want to tell you what, guys, I don't know what people have been talking about here. This Mexican food is good. Yeah, I know. Tex-Mex is good. Yeah. Okay, great.
Hey, David Culley is a junkie, okay?
David Culley is not a junkie.
He said he's a junkie.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley. He's a junkie. That's going to be the new crying Jordan meme. David Culley is a junkie. Well, Dell has his
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Turned it into the meme.
I appreciate him speaking in the third person and then calling himself a junkie.
Mm-hmm. Look. Yeah.
Come on. Why do I put my hands over my eyes every time he talks? Why do you think? You know why. It's not great.
Did he call him Kyle, the owner?
Is that an accent that he sounds like Cal or Kyle? Or did he actually call him Kyle?
There's no way he said Kyle.
He said Kyle.
Well, the owner called. Didn't Jim Crane call Derek? Called Derek.
And they called Bill Bryan.
Yeah, so maybe it runs in the Kyle once called the water
Bill,
here.
Was it Kyle that called him Bill Bryan?
Yes, Kyle did call him Bill Bryan, yes.
Kyle did call him
Bill Bryan, and then we had Derek Cole. I mean, this guy is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and the Astros owner more than once called him Derek Cole. Now, that may be an inside joke where maybe he just started calling him Derek, or maybe that was an inside joke for Jim Crane. I don't know. It just feels like you're missing the name.
Yeah. When we come back, let's talk about the NBA playoff matchups. We haven't even touched on that yet, and we're an hour and 12 minutes into the show. The NBA playoffs are set. So is SiteJab.
SiteJab is set. So I've got a big football scouting platform that I'm putting together, where the general public can create their own draft grades based on an NFL scouting platform. Something I've been working with for a couple of years with an analytics director. It's going to be awesome, and we were talking yesterday. I said, you know, we've got the back end developed. Let's get the front end developed with SiteJab. Let's have them take care of building a website and building front end development. I trust my own business, my own growing internet business to SiteJab, because SiteJab does an amazing job with not just the work that they do on the front end with the design and making it look good, but also functionality with e-commerce integrated into your site and with just the entire, look, feel, and functionality of the site. What is the latest tools? What are the latest widgets that are being used on your particular website? And SiteJab can do that with integrated branding and social media functions. And you can see their entire suite of packages and what they offer for you. It's all at SiteJab.com. They're more than just a web building site, a customizable, site building business. They really can take care of your entire online presence. That's how good they are. Go to SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so it's 8:17 on ESPN 97.5. The Rockets just missed out on the playoffs, but here's the deal. It's still going to be pretty good.
It was close.
It was close. It was close, but it just nipped out on Sunday. That loss to Atlanta really hurt. But they did come in on a one-game win streak into that game. So now Utah gets the Lakers, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, or the Spurs. Did you watch any of that Grizzly-Warrior game yesterday?
Actually, I did.
It was fun.
I did. I thought they could have slowed the scoring down the last 2 minutes.
Well, I thought that they could have. I thought the Warriors were going to run away with it. Teams. And the Grizz came out. The Warriors came out so cold in the fourth quarter. But the Grizz, holy crap, they came back and they with 4 minutes to go. It's a tie game after being down huge. So that was a fun game. And the winner gets the 8th seed. The loser gets the 9. So now the loser has to win possibly 2 games to get there. No, has to win 2 games to get there. That's what the Grizz has to do. While the 8 seed just has to win 1. Now they get the Lakers. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what. Do you think the Warriors give the Lakers any trouble in this playing game?
Absolutely, they could. Steph Curry led. So Steph Curry was a scoring champ. He's been on absolute fire the second half of the season. I just think any time that you have, and by the way, the Warriors are getting shooting and play from more than just Jordan Poole is really starting to come alive as well. Like, I think that's a dangerous situation for the Lakers. I think there's an outside shot that we could see the Lakers get tripped up by the Warriors. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's you need a hot shooting performance from Steph Curry to have any chance. Because I think you're going to get a pretty good shot from the Lakers.
He was on fire in the third quarter. They had a 17-point lead, and they end up winning by 12. But it was a tie game with about 4 minutes to go, and then the Warriors pulled away at the end. So, yeah, I think that they can, but I think the Lakers are going to prevail. Hey, looked like LeBron kind of twisted his ankle or fell awkwardly on his ankle again yesterday. So I'm not sure. You know, we'll see whether or not LeBron is healthy. He says the ankle's no problem, but we shall see. You're absolutely right. Steph is the kind of guy that could really ruin your day.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. If he goes off for one of his 45 point performances, you're in major trouble. You're in major trouble because if he gets red hot, that means that they're hitting you with a flurry. At some point, you're going to have to deal with flurries, and the Lakers offensively are not, they have not been, it's just such a weird Laker team because are we going to see a flip the switch Laker team? Because if so, they got a chance to win a championship, but you know, Lakers are still one of the favorites.
As well they should be.
Should they be?
How about if you're, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Just because they don't have home court advantage throughout, now that they got LeBron back with Anthony Davis back, why not?
Was there any
they
chance
still have the best, they still
the LeBron's going to have to be talent. Shaking a bunch of rust off and it's going to last a little while? Is he going to be out of condition?
Do you, really,
you could be done before you even get started.
He was running pretty good yesterday. He was running pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 36 minutes they're going to ask him to play more than likely.
Yeah.
He's going to need to play 36 minutes, 37 minutes. If you get behind to the Warriors.
Well, listen, he's human, so at some point it's going to catch up with him. I don't think it's now, though. How about if you're the Suns? And you're the two seed, and you get the Lakers. I mean, what kind of? That's what I get. That's what I get for having the second best record in the West.
Well, then have the best record.
Well, all right. So Denver gets Portland. I like Denver.
I like Denver. Everyone will talk about Portland being the every year. It's Portland. Tell you what, Portland. Other than a couple years ago when Portland actually made it to the finals, and it was, yeah. Portland made it to the finals, Western Conference Finals. You're just not going to be in that same boat this year where it's so much. I'll tell you what, when you get McCollum and you get Dame going, and this is a team that's really dangerous. Nah, I think Denver knows who. I think they know who they are now. I think Denver is locked in. It's not. They didn't surprise anyone. They've been the same team now for 3 years in a row. This is a Denver team that I think is more set up to make a deep run into the playoffs. I don't think the Blazers are going to get much trouble.
Yeah, they, you know, without Murray, that's a big
that's, yeah, that's true. A big loss. That is a big loss.
They're a different team. They won 4 out of 7 to end the season, but you know, and well, I'm not even counting the Portland game yesterday. It didn't matter. So they won 4 out of 7 to finish up the season. But neither here nor there. They're still Denver. We'll find out. Dal, who you like in that series?
You know, the question for Denver is will they get Will Barton back, and because he's been out for quite a bit now, they just need he's a wing that can help defend and also can get his own buckets. Denver's question will be health, because not that it mattered so much yesterday. But you see their starting guards are Campazzo and Austin Rivers. I don't like that against McCollum and Lillard. So, and obviously Murray won't be coming back. But we'll need to see another guy who's trying to make his way back as Monte Morris, who might get into that starting lineup. So the health of Morris and Barton are my questions. But if I'm not going to get a full strength Will Barton, I don't exactly like Denver's guards. And the backcourt of McCollum and Lillard can go win one series.
The loss of Murray is a
huge.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty big.
Huge. Dallas and the Clippers. Obviously, you got to like the Clip in this one.
I guess. I mean, just because Dallas is not consistent enough, but the Clippers haven't been consistent either. And you got Mr. Inconsistency. in playoff P. And we haven't seen enough of Kawhi the killer with the Clippers, where Kawhi won't let you fail.
We will.
We haven't seen enough of that, well, since last year. We did the year before, but not since, well, no, that was when he was with Toronto. We haven't seen enough of it this year or last year, which is a little strange. I just always assume he's going to be the Tim Duncan of, in his prime, of the Clippers, and he won't let them fail. And maybe that'll be the case, but it wasn't the case last year. And he wasn't good in an elimination game.
What kind of crowds are we going to have? Are they opening it up in the postseason?
35% is what I saw.
Varying depending on
in the city, on where the you are. Yeah. What state
like the Warriors have a 35%. That's a pretty conservative area. That's a pretty conservative area relative to COVID stuff, 35%. I really do wonder, though, with the CDC stuff and what Biden came out with, if there are going to be any teams to say, okay, let's ramp it up. Let's crank it up at least 50%, 60%. I wonder if anyone's going to try that. Is that, does the league have any control over that, or is that just going to be a state-by-state thing?
Here in Texas, Dallas should
That's what Dallas should say. They should say, hey, we're going. CDC, our governor said we're open. Boom. 100%, Mark Cuban.
Did you see the Astros? Astros are creeping up. The Astros are creeping up more and more.
It was more crowded yesterday.
Well, it's 25,000 and then 26,000. That's more than half. That's much more than half.
I looked at it yesterday. I'm like, this is way more than 50%.
Yeah.
So Atlanta announced early this month that they're going to have about 45%, so they can get 7,625 people in their building. Going down Milwaukee, 18%. I don't know if that'll. This article was on May 6th, so I'm not sure if things have changed.
How do you like catching the Bucks with the Heat?
I mean, the Heat have had an off and on year. They're great when Jimmy. I mean, the records are pretty much identical if you stretch it out when Jimmy plays. He's missed 19 games, and they're terrible when he plays. Like, he didn't play one game against the Bucks this year. Jimmy played one game against the top teams in the East this year. So what do I know about the team?
By the way,
I don't know much because I don't know how they fare when he's actually in the lineup against these teams, because it never happened.
Mark Cuban said the NBA has given him permission to go to 9,000 for the playoffs, which is going to be, my guess is, about half. But they've got permission from the NBA to boost attendance to 9,000 for the playoffs.
Yeah. That's probably right. Yeah.
Before it had been 42 to 4,500.
The Jazz,
it's a 20,000 seat arena.
The Jazz will have 13,000.
Jazz ain't playing.
Yes, they will. What do you mean? They're not playing?
Ain't playing around.
Yeah, the 13,000.
They're going 13 G's.
Yeah.
They're like, we're fine. We're fine. I'm fine. I went to the Starbucks and I figured they'd be really, really careful, because they've been super careful. There's actually a sign on this one by Chimney Rock said masks are optional.
Oh, sweet.
Which I was like, oh, cool. I mean, I wore one just out of, put mine on. I'm like, because I'm going to give it about a week, and I'm going to be like, okay, I've been fully vaccinated.
Yeah, no, I was walking into the theater last night, went to see Wrath of Man. Wrath of Man, not Guy Ritchie's movie with Jason Statham.
Oh, how
it was? It was good. It wasn't great. It was good. It was, you know, typical Guy Ritchie, go back in time and see the different perspectives and stuff, but it was okay. It wasn't Snatch, that's for sure.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 67. That's pretty good. All right.
Knicks and Hawks, Bucks and Heat.
The Bucks will have 50% capacity, so I think it's across the board.
So teams are ratcheting it up.
Yeah.
Nets and Celtics or Wizards. And then the Sixers get the last team in. So I don't know.
Is Daryl going to get his title?
It's got to be the Nets and everybody else.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll do something. If they win, it'll be something unique in terms of guys never playing together. I think they got it up to 9 games. Or did they play last night? I don't know if those guys played together yesterday. But if they did, I didn't pay attention. It'd be 9. You know, they'll probably have the most difficult road outside of the first round, obviously. I mean, they'll see some combination of Bucks, Heat, and then Sixers, most likely. Like the Sixers, you think about the Sixers, they're going to see maybe the Wizards or the Celtics or Charlotte, or whoever gets the 7. or the eight. And then they get winner Hawks and Knicks. And then if the Sixers don't make the conference finals, maybe Doc Rivers deserved to get fired last year. Because they have a pretty easy path. And that's kind of why you fight for the one seed. And the fact that Heat lost on Saturday, the Bucks dropped them down to six. So, I mean, the Sixers should see the Sixers Nets in the conference finals. That should be how it plays out.
Yep. This is probably true. When we come back, who helped their image most this NBA season? Who benefited most this NBA season? We'll talk about it on the other side. Don't come.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Go after him. All right. You better turn that off. Kwame Brown. Have you seen this video?
Yes.
Kwame Brown goes after Gilbert Arenas and Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. They had something. What they have podcast?
They're all the smoke podcast where they just get high and then talk to people. That's all it is. So I guess they've come after Kwame Brown and Gilbert Arenas. I guess said something about him, but all I know is that. Look, Kwame Brown's one of the biggest busts in NBA history. We know that. Yeah, a bunch of money for doing nothing. It is what it is. It happens.
Yeah.
And he's basically said, okay, that's enough. And he came after this guy's in his own podcast where he starts podcast off by he's just mashing the hookah. That's all he said. He's just smoking his hookah. Literally, he can't get more than seven words out at a time without going to the hookah. But he had some, that seems like a personal thing between those guys.
It seems like this can end badly. The stuff that he's saying about Arenas and that he's saying about Steven Jackson, he called him, pull your pants up and get the do-rag off and stop looking like a little boy. And then Gilbert Arenas, he called the whitest black guy he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he claimed that Gilbert Arenas stole money out of his mouth, he said. You took millions out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's not my fight to fight. I just feel like saying, Kwame, you've got plenty of millions. You didn't really do. Of course, Gilbert is one of the biggest. He's probably the poster
Gilbert
child
stole a lot of money
for
too.
Stealing money yeah. through, you know, injury or whatever it was. Yeah. It's funny to watch from the outside. I don't care. To me, Gilbert Arenas, I don't even remember him as a player hardly at all. Just the guy who just kept getting money for being injured. And then he's the poster child for not giving guaranteed contracts is Gilbert Arenas. That's who everyone would point to. Like, this is why we shouldn't have guaranteed contracts for injury.
John Wall too.
Yeah, well, Wall's right
John
there with
Wall.
Him.
John Wall's picking that up.
And then Kwame Brown, off. We know, was a bust in the NBA for years and years. They had a system in place where you could come out of high school, get millions and millions and millions before it was slotted, then get your second check and get a bunch. And then even if you were a bust, it took 8 years before they figured it out and you were gone. So, but the commentary, I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Matt, because Matt Barnes is kind of like the Conor McGregor of basketball. There's never been Matt Barnes got so mad that his ex ended up with Derek Fisher that he drove hours to go fight Derek Fisher.
Oh, and Kwame didn't leave
he
that alone.
He went to just go fight him.
Kwame
That's
kept
who Matt
calling,
Barnes is.
Kwame mm-hmm. kept calling Matt
Barnes.
And,
of Barnes. Course, there was a comment by...
can't hear me.
There was a comment by...
Del was talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't... The headphones.
Kwame was calling Matt Barnes Becky with the good hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also referenced that...
Which means he's light skinned, which is immediately a dig.
He also referenced that that Matt Barnes girl left him for Derek Fisher.
She chose.
She chose.
She chose. Was the, to me, that was like,
that's
oh,
a good
no.
Dig.
Matt Barnes.
She chose Derek Fisher over you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but that's going to mean he's going to have to fight Matt Barnes.
It's going
to
be,
he told him to go get some help for his rage.
Yes, he did say that.
I might not be wrong.
That's not so far off. So when last we left you, whose image? Honestly, James Harden is like a superhero now, media superhero. James Harden has rebuilt an image of elimination James, selfish, can't play with them, boring to watch, can't win the big game. All of these things that he was here, James Harden is being talked about for MVP. James Harden is Mr. New York. Now, the New Yorker, the cover, the Knicks are in the playoffs for the first time in forever. There's not even a Knick on there. It's the big three.
And really, the Knicks, have you seen all the celebration that Knicks fans are doing after wins? Like, they're going crazy. It's kind of fun to watch a group of fans who have grown up, because you don't get a bounce around from being a Knicks fan. You're not a Knicks fan. You're born into it in New York. You're a Knicks fan. You're just going to have to suffer through. And they suffered a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And so now when they put together a 7-game winning streak, that place was going bananas. They were having these huge celebrations. And it was kind of cool to see a younger fan base be able to celebrate, you know, be able to celebrate their team like that. Like, that's how I felt with the Astros. When the Astros got where they were good again for the first time in a long time, you know, you had that excitement, although the Astros had been better than the Knicks over a 20-year span. I mean, even when the Astros, with their worst years, they still had some good years in between. The Knicks have been terrible forever. And you're right, they don't even hit because the Nets are the favorite to win it all.
Well, and that's, you know. And listen, what kind of shot do you give the Knicks to win anything? Not much, not much. The Nets are the favorite to win the whole thing.
The Knicks, watching them, they're on. It's hard to say what they'll be, but they're on fumes because, you know, Thibodeau will play his guys. Like, Barrett and Randall are up there in minutes played. Even against that Celtics team who didn't play anyone, that they had a lead and had to scratch and flaw to fight off Tremont Waters and Taco Fall and Grant Williams. The way they play, it's gonna annoy other teams and keep them in games, but there's not a lot there offensively.
No.
So if the Hawks are shooting the ball well, which the Knicks actually dominated that regular season series, so who knows what'll happen. But the Knicks have one thing to go to and depend on, and of all things, it's Julius Randle down the stretch. Of all the people,
that's crazy,
to be the lead guy for a playoff team, and it's now Julius Randle. I could see them as a first-round exit pretty easy, even with home court.
But, you know, we also need to give some – we need to give some love to R.J. Barrett, because when the Knicks fans lost out on Zion and lost their minds, R.J. Barrett is certainly not Zion. Zion has put together a monster year. And, obviously, New York would have been maybe a different franchise with Zion. But R.J. Barrett in year two averaged 17.6 points a game, 5.8 rebounds. You know, it's 10 points less than Zion scored, but he's developing into a nice, you know, a nice maybe number two on a team. I still don't know if he's a true number one on a good team. I don't think he is, but he's developed into a decent number
Julius
two.
But Julius Randle has really, I mean.
That's a rehabilitated image.
Well,
too.
And aren't they the same guy, Julius Randle and Zion?
It's probably, well, what do you mean the same guy?
I mean, Julius is pretty similar.
Julius is a more skilled offensive player at this point, and Zion's the
But Zion is still an offensive. I mean,
But as far as the same player,
but Julius has a more limited upside. This is Julius's top end, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Zion, who knows what he'll actually become as a perimeter player and all those things. Zion's just beating you on brute force
physically.
And athletically. Julius Randle hasn't actually developed his game. Zion needs to get to that point, and then he can combine all those abilities, and he'll be a better player than Julius Randle. I would, if I was trying to win a playoff game, I'd probably take Julius Randle at this point. He's just a more diverse, got a more diverse skill set. But going forward, it's clearly Zion. And R.J. Barrett.
No. I mean, I'm talking about this year on this team. The two of them, they probably cancel each other. Well, you don't need a Zion with a Julius Randle.
They were one of the reasons they signed Julius Randle is because, you know, they missed out on
Zion. It's redundant.
They missed out on Zion.
Redundant.
Look, the Knicks had a thing a couple off seasons ago where they signed all these power forwards, and people are like, what the hell are you guys doing? Why are you signing? It turns out they signed at least one right guy. Julius Randle's become a player.
Yep.
Yeah, make no mistake. If they had Zion, Julius Randle wouldn't even be there. But I mean, Zion would have been the guy. But it's Tony asked this question to your point. He asked, as bleeped up as it is, James and Daryl are probably neck and neck for most rehabilitated image over this past season, each for having been separated from the other. I don't think Daryl never had a negative image around the league and around fan bases. Daryl was with Daryl. I mean, Daryl went out with some just a horrific Manny move. Well, they did, like, with James here locally, his adherence to anything James wanted, and this went for the entire organization, that was on them. They made that decision to let James boss them around, and they paid the price for it with the worst basketball team in the league and terrible moves that had to be made. And Daryl was pushed into making some awful moves, which he made, and he willingly made some of those moves. But I don't think Daryl's image had to be remade. I think everyone around the league had a very high image of Daryl Morey. I mean, he was hired just not only immediately, he was probably hired before he was even gone from the Rockets, if you really want to know the truth. That's my guess, because he kind of talked his way out. It was a mutual part in the way, and then Daryl was immediately had a team. But, of course, the 76ers are in a little better place with Daryl Morey. This is what he does. He can build. He can take what you have, and he can build it up, build it up, build it up. Here's what the question is going to be. If they come up short in Philadelphia, which is very possibly the case, especially with, ironically, James being the biggest hindrance for Daryl to try to get over the top. What's going to be interesting is, how does Daryl Morey, who has always been itchy to remake rosters, how is he going to do in Philadelphia when you've got a guy like Embiid, who's highly emotional but highly successful but also has an injury background, and you got a more limited player who doesn't play into the deep ball abilities, and Ben Simmons? Like, is Daryl going to be able to sit still and just make some small tweaks, or is he going to get that Daryl itchy trigger finger where he's going to have to make some big moves?
Well, he wanted to trade Ben Simmons. Well, it was for James, but he was willing to. Yeah. This is a big postseason for Ben Simmons. If he's still the guy who's bogging down offense because they have to play him, he's such a good defensive player, but they don't know where to put him on offense because, you know, he can't shoot and is unwilling. Is more importantly, he's unwilling to shoot. You can see Daryl going, look, Joel's the dude, and Ben Simmons is holding us back.
Daryl don't love these hoes.
We're going to – Ben Simmons
Daryl will
go.
Trade you.
This is a big postseason for Ben Simmons.
Yeah. If Daryl doesn't think he's the guy, Daryl will 100% move him. If management gives Daryl Morey the ability to make a trade, there's only been one guy that he's absolutely loved, and it's James Harden. And he's told you how much he's loved him in a full-page ad, which was very weird. Daryl ain't going to be in love with a guy who can't shoot from three. Never.
No.
Never in a billion years.
No. He's probably not long for that earth.
If he's the same guy.
That dirty ass, trash ass city.
If he's the same guy in the Doc Rivers offense that he was in the Brett Brown offense, like, I don't know. I think Ben Simmons will have to go. And I'm just throwing out a guy, but, you know, Bradley Beal may tell Washington, I don't really want to play here. I mean, I could see Daryl going and trying to find the next disgruntled star and go, hey, we got a guy in a long-term contract in Ben Simmons. Would you want to get out from under Bradley Beal because he's not going to be here long-term?
Would it shock you if Bradley Beal was a Sixer? No.
No. The contract's kind of match up.
Holy crap. 844 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll get back to Astros baseball and our team playing pretty damn well. But guess what? It ain't getting any easier going forward here. It's going to get rough on this schedule. We'll talk about that and more on the other side. But right now I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I love the Chastains. I love Joe. I love Patrick. You know, they've been for over 80 years, the Chastains have been selling cars in the city of Houston. And they're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston. But now retail as well, they're saying, what? We've got the Ford trucks in stock. We've got the 2021s. You're looking for it. It is the best truck. If you have not driven this 2021, if you're in the market for this Ford truck, this F-150, you have got to go to the dealership and check it out. Or if you're still afraid to go anywhere, they'll deliver it to you, and you can test drive it from your home. This is happening every single day with Chastain Ford. Nobody gives the service. Nobody gives the family atmosphere. Nobody is telling you we are not adding anything on. I'm telling you, every other dealership, you're gonna come up with a price, and then they're gonna go, oh, well, you need a, what about this package? You need a sunroof. Oh, you need leather seats. Oh, you need a bed liner. Oh, you need. Oh, you need. Oh, you need. And all of a sudden, it's $3,000-$4,000 more than you wanted to spend on the car, and it's not in the price range that you needed. First thing they're going to ask you is, where do your payments need to be? Because they don't want you choking on them. They want you to love your car and love your deal. Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Julia back here.
Welcome back, Julia.
You got Cam Day. I didn't know, you know, the new intern. Just me being a hero again, helping an intern get a shot. Intern is a son of a former U of H quarterback.
How about the other intern, Will Docker, picking a winning fantasy team for me this week, picking up some cash.
So that's how you use interns, is to make you money.
Yeah.
So is it a free job?
Yeah, he picked my team.
Is it an intern job?
I'm going to give him, I'll throw him like $4 or something.
Is he asked? I think he's asking him to do a free internship.
No.
An unpaid internship.
I picked up some nice money. I'll throw him $4 or $5. Let him get a burger or something. Somewhere cheap. Jack in the Box or something. But I'm going to throw him something.
That's how I am.
That's how I roll.
That's how you roll?
That's right. This is PGA Championship week. Major week. We're playing the Ocean Course this week. We buried the lead.
Yeah.
Buried the lead. Did you guys watch K.H. Lee dominate down the stretch? Able to overcome Sam Burns?
I didn't see Sam Burns do that at all.
No, well, you didn't see. You don't know nothing about it. Okay?
Yeah, Sam Burns.
How did you miss this? Oh, you watched David Culley and his press conference, but you missed K.H. Lee winning? Why? Because you're anti-Dallas? Okay, whatever. Craig Ranch dominating the course.
Because he's important.
Well, K.H. Lee's Korean, and he was difficult to understand in the postgame, press conference.
Do you know where I went, by the way? And this has nothing to do with Korea. But I went to a casino. I got a hookup from my guy, Peter, over at Riel. His brother is a high roller at this hotel, at this casino called Encore in Boston.
Okay.
Really nice. Like, holy crap. You go into the room.
Well, the Encore in Vegas is beautiful.
Well, because you know what the Encore in Vegas is? Hmm. And you know what the Encore in it's a win. But Wynn got me too. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
And they took his name off everything, and they said, it's still a win property. The guy tells me, look, it's still a win property, so all this is going to be really nice, but they took his name off everything, but that's what the Encore is. I took an ass-kicking so bad, it took less than 30 minutes to get completely emptied out, and I said, I can't go back to the ATM this fast. It's just not, I have to just take this ass-kicking. Dealers... You ever had that time, John, where you have dealers where the table's so cold that the dealers don't even want to look at their cards because they're like, they dread it because they want you to win because they get tipped.
Yeah.
And they're like, three of a kind. And I'm playing these stupid table games like, you can bet four times your original bet. And I had a pair of kings on this stupid hold'em game that they've got.
It was not three-card poker. No, it's a whole.
Three-card poker was a quick ass kicking too. Don't worry about it. I took all the biggest ass kickings you could possibly take. Then I ended up on this stupid game where every time the guy flipped, it looked like there was no way I could lose. It would have to be, and he'd turn the cards over, and you could see the look of dread, like, diamonds flush. Like, I'm sorry, sir. This is just a really terrible run. I've never seen such a bad run in just a 10-minute. It's rare to see someone lose that quickly in 10 minutes. Like, yeah, well, I'm on a run. What do you want me to say?
Yep.
Can we get a dealer change out of here or something? Like, maybe it's you.
Maybe you're the cooler.
Maybe it's you, Jerry.
Maybe it's you that's the cooler.
No, Jerry was the cooler.
Okay. By the way, Minute Maid Park kicking it up. They're saying they're getting we may be close to capacity soon. Like,
good.
Next homestand, they're kicking it way up.
If you're fully vaccinated, you ain't worried about
it. I wonder, because we've seen them.
If you're not fully vaccinated,
you've been able to have 50%. There have been a bunch of games. Now, it's weekday games while school is still in, that there were 12, 13,000 there.
That's about to change.
Now, normally those nights for Astros, who are a good baseball team, of course, it was also, there were some lesser crowds right when they got back, when they were playing really crappy ball.
Yeah.
When they got back here. And we've had 13,000 against almost 14,000. We've had 11,000, 12,000, 14,000 against Seattle. But that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now we're kicking it up 25,000, 25,000, 26,000, 24. The Astros are saying, now the Angels were here. I was at the game, the 9-1 game. 13,000. There were 17,000. There were 13,000.
Right.
I'm wondering if people are still, even if they open it up to 100%, if we're ever going to get there, because people, and the average is going to be so much lower. Even going forward, not counting ever, now, because we've got.
What do you mean ever going to get there? You mean just this year? Yeah, I think we will. I think once people get, it's still a weird place for a lot of people. Like, they're still, should I wear my mask? When the CDC comes out, and they based all this on a huge study with hospital workers who are near people with COVID who had been vaccinated, their success rate was so high. For them to come out and say, hey, mask off now, you're fine. That was like, whoa, this has been a very conservative movement with the mask and everything. For them to come out and say that they had a big, it was like a huge study, a large sample size. Their numbers were so good. They're saying, okay, mask off. Now what's going to happen is every state, because when I was in Massachusetts, the whole talk on Boston News on Friday, they were saying, well, this is great news, but how is this going to work? Because Boston said, no, you can't take your mask off yet. Let us have time to set up everything. And what they're going to do is set up, okay, this is the start date. I think what Texas will do is they'll let it trickle in and they'll say, look, by June 1st or whatever date, this is going to be the official start date of you can walk around without a mask. Like, I think they'll create a start date. And once that happens, I think Major League Baseball will go 100%, at least states that are not backed off. And I don't see any reason. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm good. I trust the science. I always have. Mm-hmm. And when the science is telling me I can go without a mask now, I'm still trusting the science. And for people who say, well, there's other people who aren't going to get that. Well, that's on them. Then don't go to a baseball game. How about that? If you're not fully vaccinated, don't go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
What? Why would you put yourself in, if you're worried about it, being in harm's way, then why would you be near a bunch of people? It doesn't make any sense to me. So as far as I'm concerned, they can go to 100. With the CDC coming out like this, I think the Astros sooner rather than later are going to go 100%. We already saw, we had a UFC here in Houston on Saturday to capacity. That's the second UFC that's been to capacity. They did it first in Florida, because Florida's been about that forever anyway. And then the second one was here. And Dana White said, no, we're not holding. No social. Everything's fine. Everyone, come on out. 100%. And McCool, my buddy from Belize, came in town. And he said he and his buddy were wearing a mask, you know, around. He's used to, in Belize, that's what you do. And he said literally almost nobody around the Toyota Center had a mask on, like nobody. And I don't know if he took it off when he went inside or whatever, but that was 100% capacity, John, over 20,000 people in Toyota Center for a UFC fight. Why would it not be that for the Astros?
Was there anything out of those fights that we need to talk about?
No, I only saw the prelims. I didn't order the pay-per-view. I got here. I had a chance to go to the game, to the fight. I got it invited. And
did you see AJ's tweet?
I was too gassed.
My seat is better than your seat. He was sitting right on the ring. My seat is better than your seat.
Yeah, because he had the media seat.
Yeah, well, he and Dana. He has Dana White on every time they come to the city.
I know. I don't know how he gets Dana, who he knows, to get Dana on. I know
they've had him on for, no, they've had him on for 11, mm-hmm, 12 years now.
Well, we were the first ones to have Dana White on in 2001.
Yeah.
During Ultimate Fighter.
Suck on that, AJ. We had him on first.
And then Dana. How'd that taste? And then it got to be harder and harder to get Dana on.
Yeah.
Then
we stopped caring.
Is that your favorite thing, to tell someone to suck on that?
Yeah, suck on that. We had him on first. What? That's right. In studio. In studio.
John Granato is a junkie.
Eat that. Eat that for a while.
Oh, yeah. Let's not just throw that out there. Like, if people who didn't hear it in the, what, early in the show?
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
That's what Lance was making reference to.
No, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. That's not true.
All right, 713-780-37.
David Culley may call himself a junkie, but he is not a junkie.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
He said it, not us.
Did we even talk Astros baseball? We're doing it on the other side, right here, ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.